like it.
I have a solution to keep you all occupied. Learn to swim. Learn to swim.
This is sounding familiar.
Yeah, that's from Tool. From the American rock band Tool.
Did you like the picture of Greta Thunberg I sent you?
It was fantastic, and it spoke volumes. It was like
I think her look of mild disdain she gets more mileage out of that than probably anybody in the world.
Just like a little judgment in that, like I see you,
just tiny bit. You know,
like what the fuck? And she looks like she could be looking at her kid. Like what the fuck are you doing? You know, yeah. We're never going to live up to the ideals of Greta Thunberg. We have to understand that. You know, think of her like a benchmark more. You know, like a lofty emulate. Look to emulate, not copy with her. Right,
Saint Thunberg. She's our conscience.
I would say if you're going to deify, definitely Bernie Sanders. Deify him, right?
Yeah, right.
Greta for sure.
Greta, I'm gonna throw AOC in there just because she looks good.
And it's controversial. There needs to be a little controversy there as well.
Yeah, right.
Who else? The guy that paints? What's the guy that does the paintings? Teaches you Bob, how to paint?
Bob. Why can't we think of it? Bob Dobbs?
Nope. Come on, what's the guy's name? All right, you know what? We'll skip him for a second. The guy that played around with the animals that got killed, that guy, Steve Irwin, certainly would be deified.
Okay, so as long as we're deifying people, let's not.
let's not do that. Speaking
I think we've gone beyond the short list anyway. So.
Speaking of free, and we're skipping somebody though. No, the guy that would teach you to read or get you to read on Sesame Street. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah, Mr. Rogers, certainly. Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
Kitty Carter.
Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy.
Okay. What was Jimmy's wife's name?
Carter.
But what was her first name? Rosalind.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The little woman.
Speaking of deities being deified and avoiding having to pay money, Donald Trump. you know, the Supreme Court really stepping up for him in the last few days.
Whoa. It's shocking.
Is it
shocking that the Supreme Court is willing to even consider the proposition that the president is immune to prosecution of any kind?
If that passed, and I was Biden, I would immediately lock up Trump. I would immediately arrest him and everybody.
Yeah, right.
Throw him in Guantanamo.
Yeah. That'll teach them. if they would pass such a thing, and I don't think they will, but if they would decide that a president is not immune, I mean that is immune to prosecution, it would be like the Enabling Act of Germany in 1933.
How would you not seize power if you were the current sitting president and this got passed? How would you not just do a coup yourself? I mean, why not?
Yeah,
why not? Right.
SEAL Team 6 out there. Get whoever's running against you.
Let's start with the Supreme Court. Lock them up.
Right?
This isn't even a slippery slope. It's a giant bulldozer creating the ledge.
Okay. To put the kindest spin on what the court has done, maybe they've taken up the case in order to put the imprimatur of the Supreme Court on such a consequential matter. But, the idea, though, of a unitary presidency, a president with no accountability for what he does, either from court or Congress, is so preposterous, so without precedent, such a fundamental change in the powers given to the president in the Constitution, that it's more like gaslighting. The court is gaslighting us into thinking that there's any legitimacy at all to the idea of total presidential immunity. It's so far out of legal precedent, historical precedent, except in monarchies and dictatorships.
Right.
But that this country would need the Supreme Court to tell us so. That the court that wants to give any consideration to this is just nuts. And so how did this happen?
Yeah, how did this happen? Is this all Colorado's fault? And now we got Maine. Now we have Maine and Illinois as well now.
Well, four justices have to sign on to taking up the case. And so that's probably what it was. We don't know. But if four, so we know who three of those four were. Was the fourth Roberts? Kavanaugh?
It's a tough thing because, I mean, you want to assume that they're going to do the right thing, but that's the assumption of the court. Is that the court's going to try to do the right thing. And can we really say that about this particular court?
Well, they're already not doing the right thing. I mean, some people think it's a play just to delay it.
Which, I mean, it works. It works as a delay. I mean, it, you know, logistically.
Well, they could have decided whether to take it. They should have decided just not to take it. Let the appellate court standing stay. And they should have just decided. Because this whole idea is just nuts. But they shouldn't have taken it at all.
Yeah, and while all that's happening, you know, we have Trump doing a perfect impersonation of Schrodinger's billionaire. you know, when it comes, you know, when it comes time to tax me, I'm broke.
But when I want to borrow money, I'm flush.
I'm flush, right? You know, and it's, you know, I mean, fraud, sure, you know. I think the state of New York doesn't really mess around with that.
Yeah, really. And that's, you know, that's where, I mean, even if this court gives him immunity, he doesn't have immunity from Chicago or Georgia. I mean, New York or Georgia.
Right.
So those still go forward. However, oh, this is so messed up.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is.
Oh, and then we got Alabama. Embryonic personhood.
Well, and then Trump gets in front of the judge and is like, I don't have the $85 million for Carol. I can't get it. So now we have our billionaire. He can't come up with $85
million. Yeah.
Forget the $400 million.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the judge said no dice on that. You know, the appeal on that, you know?
Yeah, right. So, okay. We start seizing assets.
The clock is ticking. I mean, it's like another 24 days or something, 23 days, something like that. Yeah, it's they can
he'll start, come up with it.
I think so. I mean, you know, he tried to sell the shoes. Are you watching these shoes? I mean, it really is unbelievable. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't believe it.
I know. I mean, you'd think he would think it's tacky, but apparently not. I mean, apparently he's got gold toilets, too, so how tacky is that? So.
Pretty fucking tacky. don't forget the stuffed lion.
Right.
It really is an unbelievable situation. I mean, we're talking about not even a master criminal, just a lot of criminal. I mean, a lot of criminal activity, you know what I mean? None of it good. He doesn't seem to be good at any of it.
Yeah, right? And is he seem to be kind of losing it even more?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff he's been saying lately, out on the stump.
Well, it's funny because, you know, all the videos, for 2 years, I've seen nothing but videos of Biden stumbling over his words, stumbling over his own body. You know, they really do pick and cherry pick all of that. But the stuff I've seen from Trump in the last 3 or 4 days, I mean,
much worse.
We're talking about full blown. You know, he actually said that black people would favor him more now that he has indictments. Like, he said that.
Yeah. Well, I hope he loses some black people on that one.
I can't imagine anybody except for you know who voting for him. I really can't see it. I mean, could you see yourself as a woman voting for Donald Trump? I mean, really think about it.
It's a mind blow. But so the thing of it is, you gotta understand that mindset. They love him, they adore him, they worship him. If you say something bad about him, you show him doing something bad. They think it's AI. They think it's made up. Just that far gone.
I've seen a post, a bunch of the same post on TikTok, and it's somebody saying, you know, can you name one good thing Biden has done during his term? That's the premise of the video.
Sure.
And then, of course, the comments are filled with 1,000 comments about everything he did. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's got a ton of good things.
A ton of good things. Surprising amount, like a lot of things. And then the responses, of course, are pretty standard to all of those comments, which is, whatever, fuck him, he's crazy, deep state.
If it's good for Biden, they don't believe it. If it's bad for Trump, they don't believe it.
So this is where we're at. I would say like a Mexican standoff, kind of. I mean, we're at a moment here where I mean, you always say it, but I mean, this is where we choose our direction, right? As a country, what happens?
Seems really like a fundamental. But I've looked back in history for other periods of time where falsity has been driving. You know, political thought in the country. And there's quite a bit of it. But I really don't see it being as deep and fundamental as it is right now. I mean, always, you know, people spouting false things about what's going on has driven a certain amount of the vote. But I think it's more this time. It's, you know...
I've been screwing with people. I've been sending Republican friends pictures of the shoes, you know, because it has a T on the side, and I'm like, I'm like, hey, did you see these new shoes to celebrate trans awareness? And I've been sending, and the comments have been like, oh, those are ugly. Those are the worst shoes. Oh, that's stupid. Like, hook, line, and sinker. Every single one of them.
Right?
Every single one of them, James. Every one of them. Nobody. I got in right before the news, I guess. What?
Who's that guy from The Daily Show that goes out and tells people on the street things that Trump has said, but as if it were Biden, and they just all over, you know.
Oh, I've seen some good ones with him. The one I saw recently with him was he was going around saying, the first question was, do you think the Bible should be taught in school? Was the first question. Which, of course, the answer was yes for all the MAGAs.
Sure, sure.
Then he's like, what about this book that they want to put in school? Let me quote. And he would read something, do a quote, and it was some horrific quote. And they're like, no.
It's the Bible.
It's the Bible, yeah. Which is so great.
Well, I mean, and then he lets them know that, you know, the quote, oh, that's not Biden, it's Trump. And they go, oh, well, then they start making all kinds of excuses.
Yeah.
They're just double back on their own brain.
Everybody becomes a mental gymnast at that moment.
Yeah. At pretzel logic, which is, I think, is a pretty good phrase for that.
Is there something wrong with me because I can say bad stuff about Biden? Like, am I missing the boat here? I feel like I'm not playing the game.
No,
the right way.
We don't worship him. We don't, you know, he does make mistakes, and we should call him out on him when he does stuff that we don't like. Of course, you know, that's what, you know, is, I'm trying to say normal, but
well, it's the difference between real love and a mother's love. You know what I mean? That's the difference right there. Like a mother will just love the kid no matter what. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kid could be on death row, you know. Mom pleading for the kid. That's mother's love. That's a whole different thing. Real love is where you're able to look with a trained eye and point out an issue. I mean, you love something enough to want it to be great, right?
Sure.
Is the idea. That's how I feel about the country is, I mean, we need to be honest. That, to me, true love for the country
is
being
phrase,
honest.
Well, that's that phrase, my country, right or wrong. There's another part of that phrase, though, when she is wrong to write her.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
You don't need the Second Amendment for that. You just need some awareness, self-awareness. Jesus Christ. And the funniest thing is, all of these fans of Trump, they couldn't get within 100 yards of him in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
99% of these people would never be allowed into Mar-a-Lago. They'd be stopped right at the door.
Yeah, right?
He does not want to hang out with you.
That's the weird part. Why they think that a billionaire is going to help the middle class. Never has, never will.
You know, we're lucky that he's not like an ex-general or war hero. You know what I mean? We're real lucky he's not a legitimate despot.
Of course, as if.
I'm just saying, I mean, if he was a legitimate despot, we are primed for that right now. And he's not the right one. He's not going to be a good totalitarian leader.
We're kind of primed right now. I mean, with what the Supreme Court is doing. And once again, to go back to that, some people think they're delaying so it'll go past the election, this trial.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they waited 2.5 weeks to even take up the idea of whether, you know, to hear the case or not, which they could have done it in 2 days. And then they set the trial date 7.5 weeks out. Once again, they could have done it tomorrow.
Right.
And so they're just taking as long as they possibly can. So that's not a good sign.
Now, let's say they do drag it out and it ends up being March of next year. Okay. And Trump still loses. So then will they still go through with it then? Or?
Well, there would be no reason not to.
Right.
They kind of have to. It's sort of stuck.
I mean, but it's hard to keep track of all these trials. You know, I need an app for this, like a Trump trial tracker, TTT.
Yeah, right. So, well, Alito is already on board with a unitary presidency. He's already said he's for it.
Jesus Christ. That should disqualify you from being a Supreme Court justice.
Right.
Right?
And Thomas just wants to make liberals miserable. He said so. That's an actual quote.
Sure. Well, that's fun.
So he's not smart enough to have an ideology like Alito is, but
he's willing to go along though.
Yeah, so I think that's a possible two. Maybe Gorsuch would go along with it. So I think that's all we got though for a unitary presidency on the Supreme Court.
I mean, these justices must have some awareness that if they were willing to do this, it would stain them in the annals of history.
More than they've already been stained?
I'm saying that you can still wash it off. Time can wash off a lot of stuff. So, you know, they've done a lot already, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still a lot of time left, too. So... You know, Barrett could do a 180-degree flip. You know what I mean? We don't. She still has her whole life in front of her. So
right?
Right.
She's got a certain... I mean, she's very conservative, but she does have a certain amount of thoughtfulness about her. And...
I always thought... I'm so naive. I thought the Supreme Court was separate from the government. I thought the Supreme Court was outside political parties and considerations like that.
That was the idea.
And where does that
flip? I think, that's the ideal. I think it's always fallen somewhat short of that ideal, though. Politics is hard to get away from. So.
A fucking mess.
Blizzard in California.
Yeah, I saw that. Was it like a 10-year event?
Something like that, which, you know, just be thankful it's not a 100-year event.
Well, I'm in this small town in Arizona. We just finished our first, it was supposed to be low-income housing.
Oh, really?
So they just finished the units, and, they're going for about $2,000 for a one-bedroom. The whole city's complaining, like, what in the hell is this for? Nobody... nobody that lives in this town can possibly afford these apartments. So what is this for? And there's some rumor that
anybody can afford anything better would not want to rent it.
Exactly. Anybody's like, exactly. I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, your parents bought a house for $50, right? You know, houses used to cost like a pound of raspberries for a house.
right. Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, they think they made those for traveling COVID nurses was the idea. but then COVID stopped. The project took years to complete. So that's when it started. By the time they finished it, there was no COVID, or at least no public COVID.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plan here is. I really don't. It doesn't seem like, you know, I don't blame Biden for this, but I'm saying it does seem a little out of whack. 7% mortgage, you know, it's just not possible for young people to buy houses anymore.
Well, so, and that's so far different than it was when I was a young man. You know, going into the renting market in the early 1970s. And,
well, you can move it forward. What about going into the, what about San Diego in the early 90s? Now,
even that,
you know, the same houses that were 160 grand are 1.5 million now. So the minimum wage is the same.
Sure. So that's right. Real estate is the big driver. It's like double what the regular inflation rate is. So, and that is a national disgrace.
Oh, yeah.
That so many people, I mean, they've got to do something about it, whether it's UBI, some sort of government subsidies for, you know, rent, rent control. Something has to happen because this is untenable. Hundreds of thousands of people in the street.
Look, they only do for banks, so why not just subsidize the banks? Do that then.
Yeah, right.
Give them universal basic income.
How about subsidize the people? How about that?
The people are unwashed. You know,
well, that was somebody's phrase was the great unwashed. Was that even Oscar Wilde? Maybe.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Or Bukowski.
Yeah, right.
Or Hunter. Well, or Hunter Thompson, if we're being honest.
Yeah, this is earlier though. The great unwashed was an earlier phrase.
But you have to do something, because right now it's you know, there's three hedge funds that are buying up all the residential properties in the country. Like, this has been happening for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we're just going to be a nation of renters.
Right. It's, well, once again, it's a national disgrace. It's the movement of money into fewer and fewer hands is exactly what it is. And that's why, you've got to regulate money.
You can go further back. You can go back to the beginning of the FHA program when it was blacks and Latinos being denied the loan.
Right.
So, you know, if you think about it, that's the coffers of all the families, is that $500,000, $600,000 that exists now because of that.
Right.
And it was denied to minorities. So, you know, we've needed reform for a long time. You would talk about generational wealth. I mean, the home ownership is the key to it.
Well, we began chipping away at the New Deal, and the New Deal is what rescued us from all of this in the 30s. And it was so severe, the problem, that they could actually kind of get the job done, you know.
So that's what we need.
So necessary. But I think that's where we're at right now. Hundreds of thousands of homeless, maybe millions of homeless right now. So that, I think, is where we're at again.
Millions of homeless and millions of empty homes as well.
Yeah, right. And office spaces.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the graveyards of the next century.
Right.
They figured out, it took 6 months to figure out most people can work remotely.
Oh, this is so depressing.
Yeah, it is a little bit, huh? I mean... Well,
let's
it's depressing.
Talk about the Bobert crime family.
Oh, the Bobert crime family. Yeah, this kid's like this kid's like the Joker. You know, he's everything Hunter Biden wish he could be.
Well, right, according to some people.
You know, it's I was reading the list of crimes he got arrested for, and then it's like C page two. It's like, okay,
it's quite a list. So you can almost admire it.
Every Republican fascist, read fascist accusation is a confession, right? All I mean, right. That's, I mean, you have to just keep that as a mantra. I should tattoo that on my wrist so I don't forget. When a conservative is accusing you of something, they're confessing to something. So,
can she possibly win again another term?
She gave a hand job to a guy in a theater and then got kicked out for vaping in the theater, and it didn't affect her at all. So I don't know. I don't think this is going to do anything.
Did it not affect her at all, though?
You're talking about switching districts?
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, look, and, you know, they...
And she hasn't endured an election since then, either.
If you can establish the fact that you are against and hate liberals and are going to attack liberals, you have a lot more legs.
That's for sure.
Like, you're given some passes there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I wonder what she would have to do to get kicked out.
Right. Well, I don't know about get kicked out. I don't think she's going to get kicked
but
out.
Wasn't but wasn't she the one posting Pelosi's location during J6, or was that Green?
Yeah, right.
Was that her or Green? Like Nancy Pelosi's left the... one of them was during the thing.
Doxing Pelosi.
During the thing while they were trying to hang Pence. How is that not a crime?
I forget which one it was.
I forget which one it was,
because then they went after each other. Green and Bobert went after each other.
See, I would watch a celebrity boxing match with the two of them. Right. I don't know. I probably would watch. I wouldn't pay to watch it, but I would pay to watch something else if that was part of it. Does that make sense?
Sure. Totally.
Okay, here's another question. Do you think if Trump seizes power that we will end up in Guantanamo? Two of us.
You and I.
You and I.
Hey, it is possible. He's going after his critics, and we are that.
Second question. Will they torture us even though they're not trying to get information, or will they just let us sit in there?
Just for fun.
Just for fun. That's too much work. That's too much work.
I think at least partially all torture is about that.
Just for fun?
Just for fun. I mean, look at Abu Ghraib. The phrase that they would use with each, let's go get some. And it just meant, let's go torment the prisoners.
Right. Because you know the information you're getting at from torture is basically worthless information.
For sure.
I mean, 98% of the time it's worthless.
Yeah.
And the other 2%, it's just confirming something you kind of already knew.
Right.
Right. So as an investigative tool.
You had to know
the
question to ask.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So really it is about just being sadistic in a way, you know?
Yeah. I very much think so.
See, this is where, you know, you got mother's love, America, America, and you need real love right now. You need someone to say, "Hey, wait a minute, we're going off the rails here. This is not what anyone had in mind. We're supposed to be the shining city on the hill, right?"
Yeah, right. I mean, that's kind of been the idea. That's Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Now we're back to you're traveling around and people, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Canada.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. You know, I'm gonna get a backpack with a Canadian flag on it for when I travel.
Our allies are biting their nails on whether Trump gets. Oh, did you hear the Australian former prime minister talking about Trump's creepy adoration of Putin?
Oh yeah, I read that. Yeah. You know, when Australians start mocking you, you got a problem. You
yeah,
know
right.
what I mean?
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are definitely biting their nails. I mean. In fact, it was him that was saying, "Yeah, that my the the other world leaders that I know about are going, you know, we might have to just forget about the U.S.
Right.
And you go it on our own. World democracy.
World War III. Putin saying if we send troops over, it's going to be a nuclear war, but he wants to negotiate with us. It's a nice Jesus. Tactic.
Maybe we should have talked about movies today.
Maybe we should just preemptively start a nuclear war. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you want to fuck around? Let's do this.
Well, Putin threatened. You don't want to go there, he says.
I mean, we may need to carry a big stick at some point. And you think Trump's going to be the one to wield that? I mean, come on now. Come on.
He loves Putin.
He loves Putin.
Forget about Ukraine if Trump wins.
You see the all the people got killed? 100 people trying to get to the food trucks? You see that
shit?
Oh,
my God.
Jesus Christ.
So should the U.S. military just go into Gaza, drive out the Israelis?
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a fucking what a disaster we're in now. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, if we don't pay for it, we're anti-Semitic.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you're never gonna find anyone that loves Jews more than I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the truth. And I'm talking about historically as well.
Okay.
You know,
there are some amazing people. They're amazing intellects. One of my favorite girlfriends was a Jewess. Can I say Jewess?
I guess we'll find out tomorrow. I mean, I don't know. Something tells me no. But
she was Jewish. Not Jewish, but Jewish. Yeah, she was hot. At any rate, yeah, amazing, and amazing people, amazing. It's of course, one saving grace is so many Jews are atheists.
Well, look, it was for me, it was my dad was in the military. He was, you know, fought in World War II, and he had a different understanding about all of that than I did from just reading it in books or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, my dad was moved by the sacrifices of the Jewish people and by the sacrifices of the Russian people during World War II.
Right.
My dad seemed to have a clear understanding of that, of what that meant, the 10 million Russians that were killed defeating Hitler. 20 million. Oh, that's right.
In some estimates, yeah.
I forgot the fall of Leningrad. You know,
Stalingrad. They lost 8 million right there.
So, you know, I don't the leap from that moment to, you know, Russia is the evil of the world. You know, I don't know how that happened exactly, because it seems like that would have been a tough sell for people at that time. Hey, Russia's your enemy. So when did that foment? Like, when did that?
Well, the roots of that on the American right wing go to when the communists took over Russia in, you know, 1920.
Yeah, but in spite of that, we fought side by side against fascism. Nobody paid a higher price. Nobody paid a higher price than Russia in that war.
Right. Well, 20 million versus what, with half a million Americans?
Half a million Americans, 6 million Jews, give or take.
Yeah.
You know, probably give. It's probably more.
sure, right.
You know.
Right.
But nonetheless, it just seems like that. It seems like there would have been a brotherhood formed there between the U.S. and Russia. There would have been a, you know what? You know what? We, the two of us, got this. If any more fascists try to jump off, we were ready. It seems like that would have been a coalition to stand the test of time.
Well, the American right and American business has been horrified of Karl Marx ever since, you know, the 1860s. You look at the period right after the Civil War in the United States, and there was tremendous industrial growth, but they did not want to hear anything about workers' rights or, you know, 8-hour day, or that to them was treasonous. And they would send out Pinkertons and the National Guard to shoot down strikers. And so the reaction against communism and socialism in the United States was always more extreme than it was in Europe, for instance.
Meanwhile, while we had tons of socialist programs basically building the country.
So you got to get up to FDR before you really get too much in that direction.
Right.
But he saved the country.
Yeah. He used socialism to save the country.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked great. Even rich people did well.
Well, everybody does well when everybody's doing well.
Right?
It doesn't change the system. It doesn't fundamentally change what we're doing for people at the lowest bracket to suddenly have some disposable income. It doesn't ruin anything. It hyper accelerates what we do anyway. Like it you get richer.
Yeah. And at a certain point, I think some of them do realize that when, you know, you're a consumer-based society, which, you know, capitalism is, that you need a consumer base.
Yeah. For that. In fact, you need a consumer base that can be willy-nilly with their money also. You can't have a consumer base that's just trying to keep the lights on.
Well, that's why we're failing right now.
Right.
People have so much less discretionary income. So...
I've seen a lot of, they're giving $10,000 debit cards, prepaid debit cards to the immigrants that are coming in.
Which, one, false. Two, it actually be a good idea.
And everyone's flipping out about it, and I'm like, what would you rather have happen? Would you rather have them come over and, what, steal from you? I mean, you know what I mean?
Just let them starve right there. That's when they start to steal, you know.
Why not bring in 2 million people and have them feed the economy? It's a great way to fix the economy, actually.
Well, I mean, so they're so far away from understanding anything about what immigrants are doing for the country.
That is that's a gulf of, that is definitely a chasm of ignorance there, because
can I quote you? Chasm of ignorance.
Sure.
I love it.
Sure. It was going to be my memoir, but title. But that's okay. You can use it.
You've used it a much better way.
I'll find something else. I'll find something else. No, but I mean, it's you know, I was schooled in Arizona, so this is a border state. And I grew up in an area with a lot of minorities. Some people in Arizona have a deeper understanding about it, just because it wasn't always a political issue. And, you know, when I studied at Arizona State in economics, we studied this. We looked at the Templeton Group study, and we studied how illegal immigration feeds the economy. What, not even legal immigration, illegal immigration. And they figured at that time, this is mid-90s, that it was 100,000 jobs, real jobs, not the illegal immigrant jobs, but their economic activity created 100,000 real jobs.
They don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear
that. Because for them, they're all bloodthirsty criminals. They're poisoning the blood of the country.
If that were even possible, this blood would have been poisoned a long time ago.
we're poisoning the blood of the immigrants.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't look at it that
way.
That's
just, that's a recent study too. They were looking at, does crime go up when, you know, immigrants come in? They found exactly the opposite.
Exactly the opposite.
In communities where immigrants come into in any numbers, crime actually goes down. They're committing crimes less than the native population.
And you see that post, immigrant raped this person, immigrant killed this person. Like in the last couple of weeks, like five immigrants.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Well, it happens. There are some criminals.
There's 350 million people in the country. I mean, what legislation would you like to pass over five deaths? I mean, meanwhile, there were 28,000 murders last year in the country, not immigrants, just Americans killing Americans.
Yeah, right. With the AR-15.
But that's, I mean, you know, with the AR-15, you know, how many schools need to get shot up? We still can't even discuss doing anything with that.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so much hypocrisy.
It's a chasm of ignorance.
It's a chasm of ignorance. Yeah, great book title, huh?
That's the name of the show. I'm sorry.
Chasm of Ignorance. I really do like it. It's bad. I think it's better. I think it's a better name. because are we mentioning us or the audience?
At least this episode.
All right. I would think about it, though.
Okay. Yeah, well, of course.
But it just seems like in order to get a population of people to think that way, it isn't about propaganda. It's about denying education. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's the fundamental. They were teaching us to square dance and play hot cross buns on the recorder when they should have been teaching us about how the economy works.
Well, that's for sure. Although they should have been teaching us about the economy and hot cross buns, you know.
Well, sure, a little bit of hot cross buns or something. I think we did Mary Had a Little Lamb. I don't think we went past. Like, we had already taken a step down in development. You know what I mean? I think that was the only song we learned, too.
Yeah, but, well, music, art, economics, homemaking, all of that. We can handle all that.
No, instead I'm trying to figure out Pythagorean's theorem. And
yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Not to say that I don't use geometry, although I don't remember using it.
I don't think I do.
You know, I mean, it's important we know. It's important we know that geometry exists. Okay.
Sure. I mean, you want to know how tall that tree is based on its shadow.
But honestly, that feels like about 3 days of class. Do you know what I mean?
You know.
Here's geometry. Yeah, absolutely. Here's the key figures in geometry. Here's kind of how it works.
Totally.
Yeah. Instead, we spend a whole year on it.
Right?
I don't know what's going on here. I really don't.
What is pre-algebra?
Is there a pre-algebra?
I don't know. I've heard that. So I don't know. I have no idea. I wasn't good at it in high school.
I mean, calculus.
Oh, forget about it.
You know, I mean, that was an elective. You didn't have to take calculus when I went through. If you wanted
right,
to.
Right. And I never did.
No, I took geometry.
How about pre-calculus?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. Pre-calculus.
That was a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
But it just seems like all the information we would need. And this is what bothers me about all of it. If you teach economic theory to the young kids, okay, then you don't end up with where we're at now, right?
Sure.
You end up with probably a much richer society in the end, right? Because we're not seeing people as enemies. We're seeing them as, important cogs of this machine that we're all involved in.
Okay, but I think that's slightly, curricula is slightly, well, it's got to be part of the calculus, but the very act of learning is even more important than what you're learning.
Well, but why not just teach things that apply anyway? You know what I mean? Like, I understand that, but
exactly. I mean, as long as you're learning, learn useful stuff.
But just learn what's happening anyway. I mean, it just seems like, you know, I understand the figuring out how to learn is the most important thing. But while we're teaching that, why not just teach something to help the country in the end?
Well, learning itself builds brain, builds neurological pathways.
So
what you learn. Like learning music builds certain kinds of neurological pathways, learning math, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But it leads to the question why we wouldn't do it that way. And to me, the only thing I can think of is this deep-seated racism. That's the only thing I can think of that would foster this. Like, we can't. Yeah, we could all make a lot more money if everybody was included, but then we would have to include the undesirables. So, instead, let's form a system where we favor one group and then, you know, creatively try to hold everybody else down. That I don't understand, because to me, greed initiative should be the number one thing, right? Are we here to make money or not?
Except so many people see it as a zero-sum game. If you're getting ahead, that means I'm getting behind.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's a lack of economic understanding. That's a lack of understanding about how money moves. That's right. If someone knew that, you couldn't propagandize against them against that, because they would laugh in your face. Like, what are you kidding me?
And so there's where I'm back to definitely agreeing with you. Teach economics. Teach what money does.
It's fundamental.
You'd think.
It's the second most important thing after learning to speak English as a kid. You know what I mean?
You're going to make some of the most important decisions of your life.
Long-term decisions.
Based on that understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on that understanding.
Because I guess it's harder to get people into debt if you teach them that.
Ooh, I think you hit the nail on the head.
What the fuck, man? Fuck. Like, we seemingly, you talk about a chasm of ignorance. The gulf where from where we stand now to universal basic income seems like a gulf.
Well, right? I mean, and people who would benefit are so against it.
And it's not just theory. We've done many studies now, many, that show how well it works. Not a single one of them has failed.
Right. It's exactly right. But it goes against, the Puritan ethic.
Which somehow major corporations are just free of all those considerations somehow. You know, it's the idea of doing a bailout for the average person, that's socialism. That's the antithesis of democracy. But when it's a big corporation, nobody gives a shit.
You need a vast workforce of quiet desperation.
Quiet desperation. Well, that is the English way.
That is so true. We should have talked about movies.
We should have talked about movies. I don't know. Just, the whole thing. It's like, I really got disappointed when I saw that the Supreme Court was going to hear the appeal thing. I mean, I feel like even just that move is bad.
To even consider the idea of a unitary president.
To even consider it. Yeah. That is not America. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? That's not America.
And I just can't see them going 5-4 on, unitary presidency. I just can't see it. Not even this court. Maybe at the outside 3-6. Maybe even 9-0. No, so
I would change my opinion of the court completely if it was 9-0. I would step back. Right. I would step back and be like, I'm going to give you another chance.
Well, then it's just about the delaying the trial until after the elections.
Right. Illinois. What about Illinois removing him from the ballot? Huh?
Sure. I'd say I'd like to see more states go in on it. And then, even if the Supreme Court shoots that down, at least these states came forward and said, hey, we don't think so. Right. He was guilty of insurrection. And we saw it. We watched it.
Right.
And it was on TV. So the Supreme Court's really making itself an outlier.
Yeah.
I don't think we've, in the history of the country, which has had various levels of respect for the Supreme Court, it's been so low. I really don't.
Yeah, my favorite thing is the footage of the J6 people. And I saw one yesterday. It was the woman comes out. She was crying, and they're like, "What happened? Oh, they maced me! I can't believe they maced me."
Right.
And then the guy's like, "What were you guys doing? We were gonna overthrow the government."
Fuck.
Like what the fuck? Like
what? Chasm.
I mean, you can't even see the valley below. That's the kind of chasm. Yeah, right, it's just cloud cover.
It's so far down
there. Yeah, it has its own atmosphere.
Yeah.
Final report on the Titan submarine.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, instantaneous death. Instantaneous. Like, yeah.
Sure. Sudden implosion.
You know, milliseconds.
Is there some new information on that, though?
Yeah, I saw something yesterday.
Okay.
I don't know, probably some bullshit. Who knows?
Yeah.
I just saw instantaneous death, and I was like, fuck yeah. That's what I'm looking for. You know what I mean?
They didn't even know.
Not even a hint. Like, just not even a second. Not even a second. Crack?
Yeah, not even that. Just boom.
Just, I mean, faster than you can blink.
Yeah. Which, that would be the most.
I'll tell you what, right? I mean, it's better than clutching your chest and being in pain and laying there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Which is all we really want.
Run over by a tank.
All we really want is a painless death. I mean, if we're being honest, you know what I mean?
I want Marcel Duchamp's death.
What happened to him?
Well, he's 88. He gets up out of his bed with his mistress, 30 years his junior. Goes into the bathroom, has an aneurysm, boom, lights out, he's done.
Huh. I mean, why did it have to be a mistress? You know what I mean? Okay. couldn't have been his love. Couldn't have been his loving wife. Because that's no good.
Well, he doesn't. He never went there. So,
you know, marriage is. Marriage is punishment for shoplifting in some countries.
He might have married for a green card, but yeah, I don't even think he did that.
Well, you know, look, folks. You know, this is going to be what it is today. You know, we're at a tense time here. We'd like to sit here and discuss movies and music and a bunch of nonsense with you. But we're in a tough time and, you know, a lot of things are going to change.
We are in a tough time. There's been a consequential, incredible consequential stuff happening. So we got to talk about it. I think we've got to talk about Criterion.
The next show we're going to do is going to be a movie spectacular show.
And Anime Wong.
We got Jenna Ortega and Martin Freeman in an X-rated scene coming up. Speaking of 30 years his junior.
We promise.
So there's that, you know, to look forward to.
30 years their junior.
I don't even want to be with myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, forget about being with somebody else. I don't even like me. So, you know, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, Christ, again. So,
me again.
Oh, I can't keep, every time I wake up, oh, I can't keep doing this. you know, I look back at the past, you know, I had good times, I had bad times, and now I'm just kind of, I mean, I feel like I'm in the waiting room. You know what I mean? Like the other waiting room, you know, not the
of the Bardo.
Yeah, I feel like I'm, you know, people are queuing up to exit, and I'm figuring out when to stand up and get in line. So,
I mean, isn't that what the Bardo is? The waiting room.
Oh, right. I like the Jamaican religion, all that. You know, yeah, you know, like the
Santeria.
Yeah, the Obio, the evil that comes and kind of takes you to the next place. Kind of thing.
Oh, well, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, supposedly, like when you're in the home stretch, then you can see them. You can see the spirits, you know. If you're Jamaican.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's part of their deal.
So. Well, they got voodoo too. Still.
That voodoo you do. No, look, it is what it is. We're not going to solve this today. I hope we can still broadcast to you no matter what happens in November. So
yeah, right. If we go the way of Navalny, you know, just remember us well.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Thank God we never did anything, huh? Oh, my goodness. You imagine? Like, if we were super popular popular, I would be worried right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're right. We'd be terrified.
Yeah. What are they going to do? I mean, it's going to take a long time for him to get to us. So I say we just flip it. Flip it 180. If Trump wins, we flip to pro-Trump, put a bunch of pro-Trump shit on the thing, and just go with it. You know what I mean? Right? Or no? I don't know. I don't want to end up in Guantanamo.
Just remember that picture of Greta Thunberg that I sent you.
Yeah, I should do that as my screensaver. You know what I mean? Or my background. So every time I open the computer, there she is staring at me. It's like, oh, okay, I'll get to work. You know?
Hey, if it happens, down in flames, I'm there.
James, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Always.
Good morning.
Commiserating over the world.
You know, I wish we could say the story has a happy ending. We don't know. We just don't know. And here's the other thing. It's going to depend on us. It's going to depend on everybody listening. On, you know, this is a time to vote for sure.
For sure. If ever, I mean, each one it, but this one definitely is. This is about democracy this time.
This time it's about democracy. And I know we said that the last two times, but for real this time.
For real. We've got the Enabling Act happening at the Supreme Court, so.
Jesus Christ. Get out. If you're not registered, register. Make your voice heard. Make your voice heard, because that's a luxury we may not have if they get their way. So.
Well, the guy at CPAC. Welcome to the end of democracy.
Pretty straightforward. I saw that. Yeah. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. We almost got it done on January 6th. Get it done next time.
It's funny when you try to make a self-referential joke and it doesn't land. You know, it's like, that sounds like something you would really say. I understand you're being facetious, but, you know.
Oh, he did it with a smirk and...
It was meant to be a joke, but it wasn't a joke.
No. I mean, it was meant to be a joke, but not.
Yeah, scary as shit.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, register to vote.
Register to vote. And help us close this chasm of ignorance.
Please, yes.
That should be the title of the show. Write in and let us know if you want to change the title of the show to Chasm of Ignorance. To me, I feel like if we don't do that, we should have our heads examined. Nobody's listening anyway. Who gives a shit? I mean,
right? Call it anything we want.
That's what I'm saying. For the 500 followers or whatever, it's just going to flip, right? They'll go to the old thing and it'll show the new thing, right? Is that how that works?
Well,
that could be a problem.
Spotify, right? They play with it. It changes.
I'll give you 30 calendar days. I'm speaking to the fans here. I'll give you 30 calendar days to either make this thing five times bigger than it is, or we're switching the fucking name of the show. And fuck you, fuck you if you can't find it. That's where I'm at. Right?
All right. Fair enough.
I mean, come on, folks. Hey. You know what I mean? We're building something, you know? So
we're trying.
All right. Thank you, James. Thank you, listeners. And this has been All You Fascists. Preferred satellite
network. Oh, she treads on the forest of foe, the forest to kill. Then she punches monster stone.